web
Hey, this is Daryl Evans. Your passion for Jesus will be inspiring to others, so keep listening to today's Modern Worship on WMIE 91.5 FM.
Welcome to Chart and Compass Ministry, a ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral, helping you to navigate to the storms of this life by the ever-accurate compass of the Word of God. I'm pleased to share with you today another message from Pastor Greg Lassier, and the message today is titled, What Did Jesus Mean by Judge Not?
His grace, His mercy, His peace be with you today through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Amen. Well, last week, if you remember, we looked at Luke chapter 6 about what Jesus meant by turn the other cheek. So this week, I'd like to look at you at the verse just a few after that in Luke chapter 6. What did Jesus mean by do not judge? Let's read that one. Luke chapter 6. Judge not, and you will not be judged. What does Jesus mean by that? Are we never to judge anybody for anything? We're never to make a judgment call? Is that what he means? You know, Jesus says in John chapter 7, do not be judged by appearances, but judge with right judgment. So on the one hand, you have Jesus saying, don't judge. And on the other hand, you hear him saying, judge. Well, which is it? Is there a contradiction here in the Bible? What are we supposed to do as Christians? Are we supposed to judge or are we not to judge? That's the question. So let's take a look at that today. What does Jesus mean by judge not? That we should never judge? What is he talking about? Well, to start off, this verse from Luke 6 has been one of the most famous verses in the Bible and one of the most misinterpreted verses too. Do you know a lot of non-Christians even know this verse? And they actually use this verse against Christians? For example, you might see someone that you know, an acquaintance, a friend, whatever, who's living in some kind of sin. Let's say they're living together, sleeping together, outside of marriage, fornication or something like that. And you want to go to them and say, this is not right, that's wrong, that's going to lead to trouble and hurt your relationship with God and ultimate destruction. So you want to say that to them, what do they say to you? Jesus said, thou shalt not judge. What are you doing? You're sinning there. You should not judge me. You should just live and live. You should just pass over this. Who are you to judge me after all? Stop judging. You're sinning. Jesus doesn't want you to judge. He even tells you in Luke 6, don't judge, and therefore you're judging me. Therefore you're the sinner. You're unchristian. You're unloving. You're not being a good guy. Now, that's the way the world kind of interprets the verse, right? They often say those kinds of things. Now, a lot of Christians go along with that. Well, if you did go along with that, what would you think? You'd start to be ashamed and think, yeah, maybe I shouldn't say anything. Maybe I should just back down. Maybe I should be, I should not say that. It's not a Christian thing to do, to judge this person for their sin or tell them about it. And so I'm just going to back off, say nothing, live and let live, because after all, Jesus said, judge not, and so I'm just not going to judge. I'll go my way, they'll go their way, and that'll be great. That's the way a lot of people interpret this verse. If you have a friend in another religion, for example, a lot of Christians see someone following the Muslim faith, or the Hindu faith, or the Jewish faith, or the New Age, or something like that. And you say, no, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, the only way, and you need to, no, you can't say anything, you can't judge me, you got to just live and let live. Jesus said, thou shalt not judge. What are you doing judging me? Who are you to judge me after all anyway? You're unchristian. You know, there's a lot of churches in the world that operate that way as well. In fact, I hate to say it, but most of the visible churches of Christendom these days have bought into this world's misinterpretation of this verse. Now, we welcome all people and all sinners into this church to hear the truth. Amen?
Amen?
That they might repent, believe the truth in Jesus, and be saved. But a lot of churches, most of them in the modern day, they'll welcome sinners in as well, but they'll also affirm them in their behavior. Let's say homosexuality, a big thing these days. And there are churches, other Lutheran bodies, actually not our denomination, that are called affirming churches. Have you ever heard of that? I've been asked once, are you an affirming church? I'm like, yes, we affirm the truth. And we want everybody to be saved, but they meant, do you affirm that kind of behavior? Yes, we'll welcome you to come in here. Praise God, we want you to. But do we also affirm that behavior? They say, a lot of churches, yes, we want to affirm that because after all, we're just being loving. We're being Christian. Jesus said, don't judge. We're not judging anybody. We're just being loving and accepting to everybody as they are, while affirming them in what they're doing. And they go their merry way, thinking that they are keeping Jesus' word by so doing about not judging. But let me ask next, what do you think would happen to the world if we never made any judgments? If we never made a judgment call? I want to challenge you, after the service today, you go out to the street here with me on A1A, which is, you know, Suicide Alley, more or less. Getting out of here sometimes, you got to take a right, you can't take a left, you're going to be in big trouble. And you try to cross that street with me making no judgment calls. Yeah. Is that going to go well for you?
No.
Ah, there's a bus coming at 50 miles an hour down the way. I'm not going to make any judgment calls. I'm not supposed to judge what's going to happen to you.
Splat.
Exactly. That's even in my notes. Splat. Good job. You're going to get killed, right, if you don't make any judgment calls. What happens if you have, for example, then a friend who's going into some sort of sin and you don't warn them? Splat as well. They're going to be in big trouble. How about a courtroom? You know, this actually happens in our country these days, where a judge will see someone who beats somebody to a pulp. The bad guys come in, the criminals, and the judge says, I'm not going to pass judgment after all. It was just an oversight. It's no big deal. Live and let live. You can get out, not even need bail. You know, is that good judgment? No, what happens if that happens? If you let the criminals go free without any judgment? They go out and rob, armed robbery, maybe kill somebody else or steal from them. Not good. And if you have that happening in churches and you don't make any judgments about anything and tell people about the judgments, what happens? Truth is out the window. Doctrine is out the window. And what happens to the people? Sin runs rampant through the congregation, eats its way like gangrene. Everybody's grinding their teeth and angry with each other, and the church is destroyed. So why do people believe this? This interpretation of this verse that you're never supposed to judge? Well, we're living in an age called the age of tolerance. Not as much anymore, but it's still there. It's called the woke culture. Where basically you need to affirm absolutely everything anybody does, and you're not to judge them, because after all, unloving, unchristian, Jesus said, thou shalt not judge, so don't you judge me. Who are you to judge, says the world. And a lot of people have bought into that in churches. So is that what Jesus means here? What do you say?
No.
Obviously, surely, that's not what he's talking about when he says this in Luke 6. So let's now take a look at what he really means by this. And here's a bright, brilliant idea. Why don't we read this verse in context? Think that'd be a good idea?
Yeah.
Not just take it out of context. Okay, Jesus says, judge not and you'll not be judged. Let's just stop there for a second. What does he mean? Judge, the word in the Greek. Is krino, which means you shall not judge, you shall not condemn, and what it really means also, especially, is in a critical, negative sense, to stand as judge over someone and condemn them in a critical kind of way. So what does that mean? Is that Jesus is after the attitude of the heart here when it comes to judging. We do need to judge certain things, but with the right spirit and with the right purpose in mind. What is he condemning here? The kind of judging where you, in a holier-than-thou, better-than-you attitude, judge someone looking down your nose at them, finding fault with them. You ever might meet someone who loves to find fault with other people and criticize them and say what's wrong with them in this way and that way, etc.? To put them down and lift yourself up and puff yourself up and say, look at what a great person I am. I'm not like this person over here. I judge them. They're a sinner. Says, that's the kind of thing I'm judging. That's the kind of thing I'm condemning here. If you do that kind of thing, you're in big trouble. Because with the judgment you judge, you are going to be judged. You don't want to be judged like that. Don't be a fault finder is the purpose. Don't be a holier-than-thou, holy roller, looking down your nose at other people, finding fault with them when you very well might have many of those same sins, even in your own life. So it's the attitude of a fault-finding, critical spirit. Let me prove that a little bit more by the next verse. Jesus says, judge not and you'll not be judged. Condemn not and you'll not be condemned. Condemn is katakrizo, the Greek, which means to stand as judge and pronounce as guilty. A lot of people in the world like to do that, don't they? Makes them feel really, really good to look and find the faults in other people, to judge them and count them as less. But what is Jesus after? He says, this is the spirit I want in you, though, that you'll be merciful, that you be kind, that in all your judgments, what you're doing is you're looking towards a person's salvation, not for their downfall and you're up exalting, but for their salvation. Bring a good judgment. But this kind of fault-finding, critical spirit is not good. Look at what he says here, the next word. Forgive and you'll be forgiven. Give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. The measure you give will be the measure you get back. What you want God to be towards you, be towards other people. And the verse right before judge not is, be ye merciful, therefore, even as your Father is merciful. Can I summarize all this in a very simple way? Be nice. Be kind towards one another. But the world is filled with the opposite, isn't it? Oh my goodness, how many people want to find fault with everybody else? If you go into the world outside of the Christian church, everybody's like, oh, did you see what so-and-so did over there? Isn't that terrible? Yeah, we're not like that. Isn't it so great that we're not like this terrible person over there? That's what happens in the world. Nobody can do it with the church. Church is supposed to be so much better. Oh, did you see what so-and-so did over here? Isn't that terrible? Oh, it's horrible. I'm so glad we're better than that person. And that is the wrong kind of judging. That's the wrong spirit. You're exalting yourself, putting others down. Not good. Jesus condemns that kind of judgment. Do you know, I've met so many people on my boat over the years. I used to run a charter boat until 2 weeks ago for 17 years. Just sold it, by the way. But I've met so many people on my boat over the last 17 years that have been hurt by the churches, certain churches, where they met a judgmental, critical, fault-finding, holier-than-thou kind of attitude. People come in, they maybe aren't dressed as everybody else is. They don't talk like everybody else is. They don't look like everybody else. Maybe their dress is not the perfect height. Maybe they went to a movie or a dance or did something else that's maybe not even a sin in Scripture, but the congregation said, ah, look at that sinner over there. Or a single mom goes into a church with a little child. Oh, that harlot, she must have been sleeping with someone outside of marriage. She's not one of us. She could never be like one of us. And then the person gets hurt, goes away, wants nothing to do with Christianity ever again because they've met a judgmental, critical, holier-than-thou attitude. That, Jesus says, I condemn, because you're destroying the work of God. I'm seeking to save this person and bring them in with mercy. Why don't you be merciful like your Father is merciful? But instead you're judging them critically, fault-finding them, and driving them away from salvation, destroying themselves and destroying yourself as well. Because with the judgment that you judge, God will judge you, says Jesus. The measure you give are going to be the measure you get back. Has that happened in churches? Oh. Happened in ancient times. Can I read you a little one? Check it out. James chapter 2. James says, my brothers, don't show partiality as you hold the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, Lord of glory. For if a man with gold rings and in fine clothing comes into your assembly, and then a poor man in shabby clothing also comes in, and you pay attention to the rich man, and say, have a seat here, please, sir. Well, you say to the poor man, stand there or sit at my feet. Haven't you made distinctions amongst yourselves? Watch this. And he says, and become judges with evil thoughts. Notice, that's the evil kind of judging. Don't look down. And by the way, you guys do great with this. You would welcome everybody with love. I think you do fantastically. But keep it up with the right spirit. Because to judge someone and look down and say they're less than we are, and to judge them with a critical, fault-finding attitude, that is condemned by God as an evil thought from the evil one, have nothing to do with it. What's it do again when we, if we did have fault-finding, critical spirits? It destroys people. They never want to see or hear of God or of Christ again, and that destroys their lives, drives them away. We all started life as children, didn't we? If you have little children, what are they like? What are little children like? Little toddlers running around. Happy, beaming, joyful, free, happy to be themselves, running around. And a short time later, what happens? They go to kindergarten. Or first or second grade, what happens then? They go out into the playground for the first time, and all of a sudden, what do they meet? You're not as pretty as us. Why do you wear your hair that way? That's not good. You're not as smart as we are you? You're not as athletic. You're not as fast. You're not as good. You're not so cool. How does that child come home then? All that joy, to such belongs the kingdom of God. Now the person comes home withdrawn, shy, afraid to be amongst his peers, doesn't want to go back to school because it's full of judges. Judges, critical, fault-finding, holier-than-thou attitudes all over the place. And the person learns to wear a mask. Quite happily we get over that as we get older, right? Actually, what happens is as we get older, it gets worse, but we just get better at wearing masks. How many people here act the same way at church as you do at home? Now, at home, we're always zany and crazy, right? And we come here, we're afraid to do that. Why? Judges. There are judges around. Some preachers get into the pulpit, and they're afraid to tell the truth because all they see is a congregation full of judges instead of a flock needing to be fed the word, which is the right attitude and the right way to do it. So there's this kind of judgment all over the world today. It doesn't get any better as we get older. It gets worse. So Jesus here is about the attitude of the heart. We have to make judgments in the world on all kinds of things, everything, actually. But you got to do it with the right spirit, the right attitude, for the right purpose. How do you know right judging from wrong judging, by the way? I'll give you a little clue. You want a clue? Say clue. Here's you're going to write this one down? Secret. Good judging, right judging versus bad and wrong judging. If you enjoy it. Okay? If you have joy in criticizing and fault-finding and looking down on somebody else and you feel like glee that I'm a good person and this person's not, you're in the wrong category. Bad and evil judging. But if you judge and share a judgment with someone with humility, in the fear of the Lord, and it's hard and it's difficult and you don't want to do it, but you're doing it for their salvation, to help them in the right way with the fear of the Lord and with all gentleness to lead them in the good way, that is right judging. That's the kind we need. So, do you enjoy it? Or is it hard and difficult? So, Jesus wants us to have the same attitude, friends, that God has. That's what he's after. God's merciful. He's kind, even to the ungrateful and selfish. You go and be like that. Don't go fault-finding and critical. That's destroying the world. God doesn't do that. You don't do that either. You're his children. So, how can we counter this kind of fault-finding? It's kind of in all of us, isn't it? You know, even in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, you can kind of see that in some places, in some churches. Happily, I don't see it really with you. I don't see it with you, actually. But we're the LCMS Lutheran Church. Isn't it so great that we're not like those Presbyterians over there? They're wrong in these doctrines over here. Well, like those Baptists over there. We're so happy that we're better than they are. Or the Pentecostals. Now, I don't really see that too much, but there is some of that. If it feels joyful, it feels like you're puffing yourself and putting someone else down, evil, don't judge. The judgment, you judge, you've been judged. But if it's like, man, I love my brothers over there, I wish they had this right, I'd like to help them, and we can look at the scriptures together, right judging. Make sense? So how can we get rid of this stuff? Isn't it in all of us? Come on. Don't you like to find fault? Doesn't it feel good sometimes to, look how they're going. Aren't we better? Well, here's the way God does it, and I'll use a modern phrase. Whenever you point the finger at someone, remember, three fingers are pointing back at you. Remember that you also are a sinner saved by grace and grace alone. You're no better than the other person, so don't let that make you feel holier than they. Jesus does this very thing just a few verses after Luke 6. Chapter 7, remember, there's a woman that comes into the Pharisee's house where Jesus is having dinner. Remember that one? She's a sinful woman. And Simon, the Pharisee is sitting there and he looks at the woman and she's weeping at Jesus' feet, wiping them with her hair, kissing his feet. And he, with a holier-than-thou highbrow, looking down his nose at the woman, in his thoughts says, if Jesus were really a prophet, he'd know who and what kind of woman this is who is touching him. For she is a sinner. And Jesus, perceiving his thoughts, Simon, I have something to say to you. What is it? Well, there was a certain creditor who owed 500 denarii and another one who owed only 50. When that man, they couldn't pay, he forgave them both. Which one will love him more? Well, the one, I suppose, to whom he forgave more, says Simon. Jesus says, you've judged rightly. Good judgment there. He says, do you see this woman? You didn't give me any kiss, but she's not ceased to kiss me. You gave me no water for my feet, but she's not ceased to wet them with her tears. You gave me no oil for my head. She has anointed my feet with oil. Her sins, which are many, are forgiven. For she loved much, but he was forgiven little, less little. What's Jesus doing there? He's saying, when you think you can judge and be critical and fault find with this woman, Simon, you've got even more problems yourself. Three fingers are pointing back at you. She did all these rightly. You missed on all three accounts. So you got to take a humble spirit. And if you need to judge, judge only to bring the person salvation with humility and fear. Same thing with the woman in John chapter 8, right? Remember the adulterous woman? How does Jesus get her out of that one? Oh, we've caught her. She's in adultery. We've all got stones. Let's stone her to death. Isn't that the law? We are holier than she. It'll be our joy and delight to kill her. Jesus says, you'd like to kill her with stones, eh? Okay, do it. Let him who is without sin among you be the first to throw a stone at her. Your finger's pointing at her. How many are pointing back at you? And as they considered it, they all begin to drop their stones, for they realized they too were sinners, guilty of the same sins, at least in their thoughts and deeds, their actions and their minds. And so he saved the woman. Woman, where are they? Does no one condemn you? No one, Lord. Neither do I condemn you. Go and do not sin again. Notice he's the judge, and he came for salvation. He came for mercy, not to destroy, but to save. If you take that one more, remember that guy, David, right? We read a moment ago. Well, David slept with Uriah the Hittite's wife, Bathsheba. You know the whole story. I think it's interesting. Her name is Bath, right? Yeah. You saw her taking a bath. But then Nathan comes in and he says, well, David, there's a certain story. There's a man who had a lot of sheep. And then he, the rich man, took one man's little sheep. David says, outrageous, terrible. That man needs to be killed. And Nathan says, you are the man. Namely, he was ready to judge, find fault, criticize, and kill the man. As judged, pronounce him guilty. He was the man. And God says, when you want to start judging other people and finding fault with them, remember, three fingers are pointing back at you. You also are a sinner. You're saved only by grace. Wesley, right? Some people have been Methodist here. Wesley said, there, but for the grace of God, go I. And since we're Lutherans, let's throw Martin Luther in there. He says, when Jesus says, first take this log out of your own eye, and then you can take the speck out of your brother's eye, Luther said, well, when you consider the log in your own eye, you have enough wood to build a pig trough. That's how Luther always talked. So make sure we remember that we also are sinners. Treat everybody else, therefore, in humility and fear. If you must bring a judgment, bring it for their salvation, to set them in the right way and bless them. And that's hard. But let's remember in Matthew 7, same verse, with the judgment with which you judge, you will be judged. So let the fear of the Lord be in you and have nothing to do with that kind of evil judging, for you don't want God to judge you that way, do you? And find fault with you? Then be kind, merciful, as your Father is, and that's the way he's going to deal with you. And that's, of course, what we do as Christians. Does that mean then that you'd never judge anybody? Should we never pronounce judgments? We've already said, you got to judge. And as Christians, our whole life is judging. Discerning right from wrong, good from evil, light from darkness, and everything that we see and everything around us, but always with the heart, again, to save. So we should judge teachers preaching, judge me. Okay? Am I a wolf in sheep's clothing, declaring to you what is not the word, or am I declaring to you the word of God? Be like the Berean Christians. See if these things are so. Check the scriptures. If they're true, say, hooray, thanks be to God for pastor. If not, run out of here as fast as you can. I'm not telling you the truth. Make a judgment. You got to do that with your friends. They're going in the wrong way. If your brother sins against you, Jesus says, go tell him his fault. Because if he listens to you, you're going to gain your brother. You're going to win him back for Christ. And if not, then you can go down the line, bring elders, the church, and eventually you can distance yourself from him as a Gentile and a tax collector, but try to save him. You got to bring the sins of the society to bear as well. Paul preached, the times of ignorance God overlooked, but now he commands all men everywhere to repent, because he's fixed a day on which he'll judge the world in righteousness, and of this he's given assurance to all men by raising him from the dead. Repent, O world, and be saved in Christ. That's a judgment we've got to make with the world. And it's our call, it's our duty, we must judge, but with the right attitude, the right heart, and the right spirit. Do you not know that we're to judge angels, says Paul? How much more matters pertaining to this life? I mean, you're going to sit with Christ on judgment, pass sentence upon evil angels at the end of time. Should we not then be able to take care of some matters in this life? This is trivial. If I'm going to be flying into Orlando Airport from Boston, I sure hope the pilot there is able to make a judgment call. Our radar coming in here to Orlando Airport, I'm not going to be making any judgment calls as I'm coming in today. I'm just going to try to wing it, see how it goes. No, you don't want a pilot. You want a pilot that makes judgment calls really well and lands you safely, and we got to do that in everything. So the point today is, it's not a sin to judge. But this is something to judge with the wrong heart and attitude. You gotta have humility, fear of the Lord, make judgments on everything, but for the good and salvation of others, remembering that you also are a sinner, saved by grace. And mercy triumphs over judgment, says James. So, this final word here, let's remember that this is the word from Jesus. Who is he? He is the judge of all. The Father has given all judgment to the Son, that all may honor the Son as even as they honor the Father, right? Jesus says, I don't even judge anybody, but my word shall be his judge on the last day. And the judge himself came not to fault find and destroy you, but to show mercy and to save you. That's the heart I want in you. And he says this in John 5:24. He says, truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but is passed out of death into life. And that's his purpose, to save, to bring you into mercy, salvation, and the light of his glory. And if that's the way your Father is, and Jesus is to you, and he's the judge of all, he says, you as my people, you as my sons, I want the same spirit to be in you. You go out there with mercy to judge and to save, as I also say. So be ye therefore merciful, O people, as your heavenly Father is merciful. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message called What Did Jesus Mean by Judge Not? A broadcast of Chart and Compass Ministry of Christ Lutheran Church at Cape Canaveral. I'm Art Hansen, speaking for Pastor Greg Lassier. And if you're looking for a church home or would like to stop by and just visit, our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday and worship Bible study is at 7 p.m. on Wednesday. Christ Lutheran is located on Highway A1A in Cape Canaveral, right across from the old Recreation Center. If you'd like to hear more messages, be sure to visit our website at ChristLutheranChurchCapeCanaveral.org. Thanks for tuning in. And I look forward to sharing God's word with you again next Monday at 12:30. Have a wonderful week in our Lord Jesus Christ, the great captain of our soul. And God bless you.